out at some point and for that long, and so we'll excuse her in advance.
Thank you.
And the meeting's been properly noticed?
It has.
All right, we'll call the meeting to order, and we'll open with public comments. Is there anyone wishing to speak?
Yeah.
Please, I don't know, you can stand wherever you like, but just go ahead and state your name.
Victoria Harvey.
Let me make sure, are these speakers on to record? Where are these? Are they these ones?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
We didn't move.
Okay. All right, so I am Victoria Harding. I am the Vice President Union for the General Unit here. You know, it's been a year with Dr. Iser, and I think this is appropriate time to kind of go over how the year has been and to set tone for what we want the next year to be, okay? So there's a couple things that I just want to hit on. Really, the first one is morale. Morale has never been lower at the district than it is right now. It is that way for quite a few different reasons. It was brought to Dr. Iser's attention 6/25 of 14 when we had the all-hands meeting, our last all-hands meeting, by Noreen Clark, who brought it to his attention that morale was very low. He kind of played it off. She said, no, Dr. Iser, I really want you to understand that morale is really low. There were a lot of things that happened in that all-hands meeting that were so horrible for the employees, morale-wise, that a lot of people turned their computers off halfway through. One of the things that he said when somebody asked whether or not why we were taking people from the outside rather than from promoting within, what he said was basically that honestly, he didn't feel that he could find the best and the brightest here at the district. It was a statement that at that point ruined a lot of his credibility and respect with the employees at that point. We have been trying desperately since then to try and increase morale. We haven't been able to. Susan Dammitz, who does a lot of our benefits, has never seen so many people coming to her and wanting to buy years. It's usually a couple a year. She's having a couple a week right now come in and wanting to buy years. One of the things I want to do is get JLMC back up and running again so we can get an employee satisfaction survey going, which is where we can actually address what is going on. Because like I said, this is really about moving forward in the next year, and we really need to address employee morale and get that going again. The other thing about that all-hands meeting is there was some retaliation within that meeting, specifically against me by Dr. Iser, and to union members. We actually talked to our lawyers at the union. We were going to move forward with that and charging Dr. Iser. We did not. I'm standing here saying I actually want my relationship with Dr. Iser to be an excellent one. I want to move forward. But for people who don't understand what happened in that meeting, we sat through 70 minutes of this meeting with him telling us how bad the district is. It was a manipulation to get the employees to give pressure on us about the contract. And he told me to be reasonable and rational on the cuts that I take within this contract. But he did get in my face, right over Kara. Kara was blown back by the hatred that came off of Dr. Iser. And it was felt, it was palpable. He asked some other people who was union members. Those people also wanted to file charges. We did not, okay? We kind of squelched it. We were in the middle of bargaining. It actually switched our bargaining. Our team actually wanted to go over to traditional bargaining because that's traditional bargaining kind of things. If it weren't, honestly, for Annette and Andy, we would have gone to traditional bargaining, not because we necessarily wanted to. The employees asked us to be in that room because they wanted to know why Dr. Iser was saying all that stuff, what's going on in there about that contract that makes us worry, and we want to be in that room. And we said no. We're going to continue with this because we had great support from the people around us, from the management team, okay? Mike, who's not here, he's one of the board members. He was called by, I think it was Annette maybe, because he was seen talking to the union outside of the Board of Health meeting. You know what? I talk to him all the time. I'm on a lot of union things with him. The union is considered to be poison. At this point, a board member can't even talk to us without it coming back that this is going to be a negative thing. We are trying desperately to you know, have a wonderful environment for the employees through layoffs, through everything that's going on. And all we've gotten was really, really bad morale going on and retaliation. To be honest with you, if there is one more thing of retaliation against any one person, union member, non-union member, you've hit Bonnie really hard after the MCH vote. Our division has taken a hit because of that. We will start filing charges, okay, on retaliation. We just need to do that moving forward. I don't want that to happen, but there was an incident the other day when I believe it was Ms. Resitar who thought she saw Lorraine Oliver over at a environmental health specialist meeting and brought it to the attention. I think Dr. Iser was involved in that as well. Called Bonnie out of a meeting, called Lorraine Oliver out of a meeting, out of her work, to ask, why were you there? Because they're paranoid. Why would the union be there watching us? And it was a case of mistaken identity. To me, that's retaliation. You're singling somebody out because they are a union member and you're thinking they're gonna hurt you. That's where our relationship has become. It started out great. We were right there with you. It is no longer great. We're to a point where I wouldn't sit in a room alone with you. I can do this now with a whole bunch of witnesses around me. I could not sit in a room with you because of the things that have happened personally between you and I since then. One of the last things here, the legislature. We started out originally talking to Dr. Iser and everybody about the legislature. And we really wanted to work with you. The number one thing that you mentioned going forward was keeping the district intact. I will tell you specifically, we've had all the employees of environmental health come to us and ask to be moved to the county. We have actually spoke to some board members to see how we can get that done. We don't want to work in opposition to you, but I was actually told in bargaining, we don't want you involved with us in the legislature. So, and to be honest with you, until you take care of some of the issues in environmental health, we need somebody who will protect us, who will protect the environment, who will protect the employees. I don't need you to protect an employee who is not qualified to be in the position, who has done some things that are potentially illegal, hasn't passed her REHS exam. And to be honest with you, I don't think until environmental health is solved with somebody, a leader that they can actually be under, that they will want to stay. And they will probably lobby against you to go to the county at this point.
If you could wrap it up in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just getting close.
That's it. I'm done. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And I thank you very much. Appreciate that. And just a reminder to everybody, this is not directed at you or anybody in particular. It's directed at all of us. But let's make sure that, you know, we want full praise, we want full criticism, we want it civil, though, and let's everybody keep it that way. Dr. Iser, you know, you'll get your chance to respond if you so choose at some point, but I ask you not to respond during, certainly not during public comments, and everybody's going to get their opportunity to speak today. All right, do we have anybody else wishing to speak in public comment?
Can I ask a question to go quick?
Sure.
Will there be a public comment period after?
There will be one at the end, yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Seeing none, we'll close public comment. We'll move to the adoption of the September 18th, 2014 agenda, today's agenda.
I will move approval, even though I was not at that meeting, but I did read them.
This is today's.
I'm so sorry. The agenda. I'm thinking of the minutes. I was going to combine the two. I'd move adoption of the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. And now we will move to the report discussion action items. Approval of minutes from, I assume this is the last meeting, which was way back in June 22nd, 2011. And I was not at that meeting either. It looks like most of us weren't. Mr. Jones was. And that's about it, right?
It was.
I'll make a motion.
And I'll second because I didn't reread.
I think it does accurately reflect the conversations as best I can recall from 4 years, 3 years ago. So, yes, we've been through some changes since then, which has led us to not really have a meeting of this group until now. So.
All right.
Move for approval?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Come on in.
We'll get another chair back.
All right, we are. We have a packet for Mary Beth.
Do you have an additional one, Jackie?
Well, here. I didn't know. There would have been a question.
Bob.
All right, so we're on Roman numeral 3, item number 2. Receive and discuss the CHO report of accomplishments and discuss proposed goals for the next review period. Direct staff accordingly. So, Dr. Eiser, will you be presenting that, or how do we go about that? Take the written comments?
You can take the written comments. I can have questions about those.
Would you like to say anything on those?
Yeah. I guess as everyone, I think, in this room knows, I didn't know the challenges that I would be entering into when I got here. I thought I was coming into a system where I could be the health officer and do my medical and management stuff related to that, but I was sidelined by what we all now know to be budget issues, building issues, lawsuit issues, and some top manager issues with one not being here and Dr. Coleman going to San Diego and Elaine going to be the CEO of, I think it was Kindred at the time, she's now the COO of Valley. So all that sort of sidelined me, and I, in terms of trying to just forward a public health agenda. So given that, most of the accomplishments that you'll see, and if you go into my office, you'll see on the whiteboard the kinds of things that I think I've accomplished and the things that are left to be accomplished in that initial set of things that I wanted. Marcy, down in the end, actually went through, since I've been here, all of the minutes and pulled together all of the requests that you all have had. And I think with the final one that we're working on right now related to getting things to look better in terms of how our reports are done every month and trying to get the calendars in sync, you'll get part of that next week, and then that should be finalized and in place by next month. So it just takes us a while to get some of these things done. I'm now able to focus in and have had to focus in on all of the clinical issues too. We've talked about that in here, the norovirus among the Pee Wee footballers, the various TB issues that we've had. We've been successful in working with industry for EMS and trauma to get their unanimous approval to go forward with fee increases, which you all approved unanimously as well. And so we're in process of getting the initial findings that I had in shape. There are still some of those left in my proposed goals for you to consider left to do.
All right. Thank you.
And I apologize, but I'm open to questions about those.
Right. Okay, well, it looks like we have the goals sheet in front of us, as well as CHO accomplishments and health district accomplishments. And I don't know who's had a chance to review those, but we will entertain questions and comments at this point on those.
I have questions.
Go ahead.
If I might, thank
yes.
you. If I go just to your goals sheet,
yes.
Based on some of the public testimony we just had that Mr. Beers and Councilwoman or Commissioner Mary Beth weren't here, I do believe morale ought to be part of the goal. And that was tough for anybody to have to stand here and say, and for you to also take. But you know what? That's why it's a public process any longer.
Yeah.
That was done legislatively. But I think the message that I heard from the employees is that morale is at the lowest that it's been, and I've been here for 8 years, and it was pretty sucky a while back, but it had improved, and I give you credit for that. But something's happening that's declining that again. So I do would like to see you look at a goal that not only establishes and proving the employee. I do think there was a mention of an employee satisfaction survey. I would suggest that we put one out and then put a work group together to address that. Retaliation was brought up. I do believe, and I remember, I went back actually and read your questions from when you were interviewed because I was not on the interview team. And I know one of the questions that was asked was regarding how you prefer to be a very collaborative, and that one of your you believe that your relationships should be in a collaborative model. But there was a statement that I felt was interesting, that you said that you appreciated the opportunity for the interview, but you were blindsided in Washoe County by people behind him and in the media. You hoped that you answered the questions fully. You felt that you would love to be accredited and answer to a question from Mary Beth Scow, but you also felt that you did not tolerate working relationships where you felt that somebody went behind your back. And I understand that completely, but I do believe once the board made the recommendation on the MCH that you were very angry, not only with us, but with the employees for advancing something that they felt in public health was a proper way to go. And sometimes employees have to understand that in the long run you still make the tough decisions, but in that case the board made the decision. And I've heard that many things kind of escalated or furthered themselves after that. So I would ask, because we all want to be successful here, I want this to be a healthy district, and most of the years that I've been on here I call it an unhealthy health district, and I think unfortunately we kind of got back to that. And so I would ask you to step up to the challenge of appreciating your employees, but finding a way to lead without them feeling fearful or undermined. Or, I mean, I understand getting angry. I get ticked all the time myself. I understand that part of it. But part of this is how do we do it together? And I think the message that from Victoria was very positive in that, despite all this, we still want to move forward and work collaboratively. So just putting it on paper is not good enough for me. And that's just me speaking, okay? And I'm only one member of the board, but I'm a very verbal one, as you well know. So I'll be on that part of it. So that's one thing I would suggest.
Talking with your hands, verbal?
Yes. My students all voted on that and decided that it was. So I think that that's, in a global way, I would like you to talk about that, but I do think it should be a goal that is established here. And we can all help with that. I mean, maybe the board has to be more visible. Maybe we do coffees with employees every once in a while. I think they need to know that there's a group. We don't just want to come in and vote once a month type thing. So maybe you might have some ideas on that. So that's my first one, and I'll see if Dr. Ivey wants to respond to anything along those lines.
It's difficult to respond, especially if Victoria left the room. But I don't believe there has ever been any retaliation towards any employee, particularly around the MCAH. That wasn't even my recommendation to eliminate that. That was Bonnie's recommendation, because I left it up to her to make the recommendation on how to help balance the budget. So I never had a discussion with Bonnie about which program should she look at in terms of eliminating or downsizing at all. Never. And I don't believe that there was any retaliation at that meeting. I know that I heard through Shirley, I believe, that Victoria thought that I was in her face. And we can go tit for tat, but they reviewed the video of that meeting and said that there was no in their face, there was no retaliation, nothing going on.
I understand that, maybe.
If I can finish, mm-hmm. please. So I also understand that perception can be reality. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Victoria thinks that I was in her face and trying to cower her or Kara, I can understand that from some point she probably believes that. I don't believe it. I don't believe that there's been any retaliation. One of the things that I mentioned or was referring to with the collaboration is that
I have never been disliked by any group of employees throughout my entire career, which is probably as long as anyone in this room. However, I've never had to go to layoffs. And one of the things I've learned over many years being a health officer and being a manager is that these kinds of things linger and linger for generations. So I still hear issues related to former health officers and former environmental health directors that should be considered to be taken care of. So I think that just having layoffs will continue to linger for some time. There's no way that I can undo what I think you as a board and I felt as the top manager that we needed to do. But I can, and I always try to do my best to compliment employees, to compliment groups of employees, to try to raise morale. But I understand it's going to be an
uphill battle. Driver, the Saturn Outlook with Nevada Plate.
Fine, Mike, Mr. Chair, you're absolutely correct. Perception is reality.
Security in the lobby.
I just got new
hearing aids. Driver, the Saturn Outlook, Nevada Special Police Plate, Sam and Tat. Please see security in the lobby. Thank you.
Perception is reality, but I do think that there's an issue, and Victoria is not the only one I have heard from. I had three employees after your all hands come to me individually about some of the comments that were made and how the perception was. So you've got to deal with that no matter what, number one. Number two, when management has to deal, it's not just the issue of layoffs. Layoffs have to happen sometimes. It's how it's handled. But when we also, in budgetary process, put people in a circumstance that here's your choice, and I'm not telling you how to do it, but here's what you're left with, I'm not going to put Bonnie in an awkward position, but I have to say that I believe, personally believe, that the MCH and the people that, the program, there was a grant correctly that I think was applied for, and there was some funding for the MCH fairly recently.
It's a different program than the program that Bonnie's
right, but it could have augmented it, I believe, but maybe not.
It's a Healthy Start grant, which is separate, very separate.
And we didn't take it, correct?
No.
Okay, you did accept it then?
Well, that's the plan, yes. We actually need it. No, there hasn't been a grant. Let me look at my managers. Has there been a grant that I have denied that we should take? Andy, you'll know.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, thank you. Employee satisfaction survey. So has there been one?
Idea.
Yeah, has there been one done recently that we even know about, or one in the last couple of years or anything? So maybe
it was the last one I can recall.
Yeah, I know. That was
when was that, Tim?
2012, I believe, there was one done under the time that Dr. Sands was still here, I believe, when it was conducted.
Okay, so I think that would help everybody, because then you're looking at something that's somewhat neutral, and then you can focus on the energy side of it.
I would say that one seemed to me a bit tedious, and we need something that can get kind of a bottom line. And
yeah.
By tedious, you mean lengthy?
Yes, and it kind of drilled down to where you didn't get trends of data. You just got comments from people. And so it was worth maybe making something more simplified.
School district.
It needs to be something that would be measurable at whatever time, and then measurable later.
The concept is, I think, usable. Whether people are feeling good about work or feeling stressed about work, either way. And so I'd recommend it.
Or how stressed. Mm-hmm. That's not binary. It's a degree of stress.
And I've got a couple things. Just on the employee satisfaction, back when I was in big business, we used a model done by Xerox, and they had done some great employee satisfaction modeling, and that's probably public domain by now. That might be something to look into if they have one, because they did drill down to specifics. I used to be with Nextel, and we did that across the entire Nextel board. So I should say more of an entire Nextel employee base.
Sure.
Secondly, I have also heard a lot of morale comments. People have come to me either directly or indirectly to let me know that morale is an issue around here. However, on a more positive note, my first year with you was as an alternate. My first year as an alternate was under your predecessor. The deference and treatment that you gave me was far better than your predecessor. And I want to personally thank you for that. And I've noticed a big change in the district overall.
To the better?
To the better.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks. And before we move on, let me, I think just to facilitate getting through this meeting, I prefer just procedurally that we each take our turn saying everything we want to say, and Chris, if you have more to say,
I'll
and
come
then,
back after everybody else does.
And then, and probably it's better, unless you have specific questions that you want him, Dr. Iser, to answer, probably better just, you know, that you don't respond till the end, you'll get your chance to respond.
And
otherwise, we could be here quite a long time just having a dialogue about a little thing. And this is more of a review than a question answer. I'm not telling you not to answer, ask questions. I just think it would be faster to get through the process if we do that. So, go ahead.
Since part of my job is I do this for a living, for my day job, you know, there's a lot of strategies that you can employ for an employee opinion survey. One of the things I'd recommend is look at the one that was done in 2012 so you have a benchmark against it and you can tell if we've had improvements or not. I don't know the instrument. It may not be any good, but I would at least look at that first. Then there's a lot of things you can do, like small focus groups. You can do coffee with Dr. Eisner. There's a lot of outreach strategies that you can put into place. But I'll follow up on what you just said. I've been on the board now. This is my fourth year. And you're the first person that I've seen that actually recognizes accomplishments of the employees at the beginning of our board meetings. I don't remember that happening in the 4 years that I've been on this board. And I think that's to your credit. Somebody came up with that as a good idea and you implemented it. So I think that's a real positive thing and you should continue to do it. I think highlighting the accomplishments, you know, maybe we did it previously at the end of the meeting. A lot of us might have to have left and there weren't people here to really celebrate the victories of the staff. So I think it's well worth the time that it takes at the beginning of the meeting to do it. So I would suggest you continue that. The other thing I would suggest, and I've employed this myself, is monthly meetings with union leadership. Just kind of you get together with a group and just sit down once a month and talk, whether it's about the weather or whether it's the building situation, but just have a regularly scheduled dialogue with union leadership so that they know there's an opportunity that they're going to get each month to talk to you. And those kind of things can go a long way, I think, to improve morale. That would just be my observation.
Thank you. You guys survey morale?
We do. We do it every 18 months across our entire company, some 28,000 employees.
I'd be happy to see your survey, if I can.
Absolutely.
I'd be happy to see your survey instrument. And if again, maybe I'm responding now, but it may be difficult if it was more of a subjective about employee survey that we did back in 2012. But we need to have a way to have it measurable. So
it really is good to have benchmarks. I mean, otherwise you don't know what you're comparing against.
Exactly.
You get a new set of numbers, and that's why we use the same survey.
Right.
We'll alter four or five questions, but the basic 40 or so questions stay the same from year to year. That way you know if you're making improvements or not.
I guess my perception is that I think, you know, in the past year we've had better circumstance than I've been a part of for the 8 or so years that I've been on the board in terms of decision making and in terms of presenting budget and the challenges of the budget to the board so that we fully recognize what we're dealing with. I think that's ahead of where we've ever been in the past. I'm surprised to hear the union presentation this afternoon. The last time I heard from union was the meeting before last, and you got accolades at that point in time saying that everything was good. So something happened between now and then that has been irritating, and I agree with all the other comments that have been brought up that, you know, that's worth making a special effort to understand what that is and get a solution to that. I think what I like about your approach is when a decision needs to be made, you make it. I believe that you gather all of the necessary information, get all the data that you need, and you make a decision. You've brought items to the board, such as the MCH, and let the board weigh in on whether this is worth pursuing and how it affects the budget. But a decision was made. At that point in time, no doubt there's some people that are going to be satisfied and people that are going to be dissatisfied. So maybe the challenge is for the staff as a whole to recognize it for the good of the whole district. Once a decision is made, we need to move on, speak as a single voice and make the best of the situation. So that may be a challenge for it to work on that type of employee satisfaction, that employee work. As far as your goals for the area or for the year, I'd like to see us make some progress toward accreditation. I don't know that you need to make that a specific goal. I think we need to be conducting the community needs assessment. I think that is going to be really the blueprint, the roadmap on how we get from where we are today to what are the most best use of funds and staff and effort going forward. And then kind of goes without saying to manage the next legislative session that is coming up. But my overall opinion is I think that we've had a very successful conduct of your first year here, and I look forward to more of it.
I agree you came into this with some inherited challenges, budget, the building. I think you've been very straightforward with the budget, and I appreciate how you grappled with that and are trying to balance the budget, which is critically important to the future of the organization. And that does create shockwaves when things like that happen. It is a concern. When I hear the employee comments, I was kind of surprised to hear that, but you're here. But I feel like in the past, I've often felt like when the board gets information, that it wasn't always full and complete information. I felt better about that of late. I still have huge concerns about the building. I think there could have been a much better outcome with that in conversations with the county, but hopefully there's a lot of work to be done on that, and I think the jury's still out on what happens with that. I just had a question as I was reading through this with the medical marijuana card. That was something I hadn't heard, and I didn't know if maybe I'd missed a discussion while I was missed a meeting or something.
No, not really. The discussion that we have had and that you have brought up to me is dealing with medical marijuana. May I respond?
Absolutely.
Okay. It was dealing with medical marijuana, and I think that a lot of that is around the laboratory. With my experience in California, the counties, actually the health departments in the counties, do the medical marijuana cards. So we're the ones that look at the physician's prescription and determine whether or not that it's valid as best we can. And that's under California state law. So I have had a discussion with Linda Anderson about this, and she actually thinks that's a good idea. She says it would take legislation to do that, but delegating the medical marijuana cards, ID cards, to the county. So where there's a health division or health department, we would do it. Where there isn't, then the county would. And that looks at part of my goal to make us more self-sufficient. We actually make a little bit of money off of those. The other issue is the laboratory, and I discussed with Linda Anderson about the laboratory, and I think around this concurrently, Dan had a discussion with another legislator about how can we do the quality assurance related to that. And currently, we believe that under NRS, we're not allowed to do that. Linda's main concern was having a public health laboratory dealing with what is considered the federal level an illegal substance. I think probably many laboratories and public health laboratories do that with other substances. So we would have to make sure that there are protections there. The other discussion I had with Linda that I brought up to her is my worry that actually taking samples of medical marijuana into our laboratory may pose a physical hazard in terms of crime and so on. So there would have to be enough protections for us to be able to do that. But I think, Chris, you even brought that up at one point, that that there is money to help us balance the budget, and so that's what I'm looking at. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Those are the two issues that I'm considering in terms of medical marijuana.
Legislative,
right. And then getting support from our legislators to go forward with that, and particularly from Linda Anderson from the State Attorney General's office.
Okay. Well, I thought it was a lot better when we didn't have full knowledge of the budget problems.
For a moment, anyway.
For a moment, anyway. No, just kidding. Generally, good reviews. I agree with Chris, but it isn't a employee satisfaction survey. It's a program of employee satisfaction surveys.
Sure.
So that we can
go forward,
measure progress or reverse activity over time. That I think is what we need.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. I don't know that it's, you can't set a goal if you don't have a benchmark. And we don't know enough about the 2012 survey to know if that's a benchmark we can move forward.
There were narratives, but there were some rankings. It's been a while since
I
saw it.
But I think it would be appropriate to get the HR working on a program to monitor morale.
She's listening.
It
was on my list.
I have.
And we have discussed doing that and just haven't yet implemented that.
So other than that, the work you've done on the budget was long overdue, and we're not out of the woods yet, unfortunately. That's more circumstances, I think.
Thank you. Anything else, sir?
Again, one of my big focuses is budget. I'm very happy that you're looking to balance the budget. Deficit spending has never been up. But
you guys are going to have to speak up. We're here.
Oh, I'm
the
sorry.
Noise here. We can't.
Yeah. I'm very happy he's looking at the budget and getting a balanced budget. I've never personally been a fan of deficit spending. And because at one point it collapses. So I applaud you for continuing to do that. You did walk into kind of a hornet's nest, in my opinion, from environmental health, and I think you've done a great job starting to turn that organization around. I think there's a little more work that needs to be done, but I definitely see things in the right direction. And then the other big goal is to find a new home.
And if I may, should meetings go well over the next 4 working days, we do have a budget item on the agenda related to the building, so it depends on discussions between now and then. And also, if I may, we continue to look at new facilities, other facilities we've already looked at. The one option that we have given up on is trying to build a building. It's just not affordable. Ms. Oakley just gave me another option yesterday for a building, and I gave that to Andy today. So we'll continue to vet everything that we can in order to get us out of here. I can tell you, and this is a prelude to the discussion next Thursday, is that we are even negotiating with Tiburi on a long-term lease to stay here as well. I think we need to look at whatever options that we can. What I told them at one point is that if we could negotiate the same deal that was negotiated previously, that was, to my evaluation, such a good financial deal that we would consider it again. I don't think we'll get that good of a deal again, that good of a deal offer from them.
Thank you. We'll just circle back around again.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, one thing that's not, and you know, looking at your goals is the legislative session that's upcoming. I think certainly that needs to be reflected here, that you play an important role in that process in representing us on both legislation that we're advocating and things that we may be opposing. So you need to make sure that is also an important focus.
I will. And I agree with you. The accreditation piece, after it was published, I thought, you know, we plan to be accredited in, cross my fingers, 2 years. We'll have the CHA, the CHIP, and the strategic plan done. Our plan is within 1 year, because we just hired Dimitri, our accreditation coordinator, and then to do the rest of the documentation that we need to do within 2 years. I think that's too quick. I don't think we'll be able to do it in 2 years,
but I can guarantee you that within 2 years we will, we hope to have it within 1 year, the CHA, the CHIP, and the strategic plan, which are the basic three things we have to do before we even can apply.
Yeah, I didn't also notice in any of your write-up about the selection of a new lobbyist for the district.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I thought that was quite honestly something long overdue, and I thought that change was important, and I think you came to a good outcome.
I believe so, too, and I really thank you for that. We met with him today, and Speaker Kirkpatrick, in fact. So I think that we have the pieces in place to go forward proactively and reactively, depending on what the needs are. So thank you for that. And I should have put that in accomplishments. And if I may, my accomplishments couldn't have been done without the people sitting around here. And they know that. I hope they do, because I thank them almost on a daily basis for all the work they do. And their managers when I can, and their supervisors when I can. Met with one supervisor today from Jackie's section who did a very good job in a difficult situation recently. And then the frontline staff who greet our public, who provide our immunizations. So I do try to thank them, but my accomplishments aren't just me. And I assume everyone understood that, but I need to point that out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris, yeah.
Thank you.
I must take my leave. I'm due back at City Hall at 2.
Thank you.
The accreditation, have we budgeted for that? Because that can be very expensive, and I went back to when you were asked that question during the interview.
Yeah, we have budgeted for the accreditation coordinator for this year. We have her in place, and in the next three-year budget proposal, you will see the budget for the accreditation cost, which $48,000.
Each year?
No. It's $48,000 over a period.
Sometimes it can be very, very, very costly.
It is because of the size of the jurisdiction.
Correct.
So it's around $48,000. So we're putting that into the three-year projected budget.
Tell me about the 16.6%. Is that still based on what was adopted as a board policy before most of us other than Tim and I got here? And
yes.
That's still a magic number?
It's what the board has directed all of the health officers to do. I wish Bob were here to speak to that, but you've heard him speak to that himself. That you all have directed us to keep as an end fund balance, a carryover balance of 16.6 to 25%. That's far higher than what is required.
That's required, yeah.
But my job is, as best I can, to do your bidding. You can change that if you want, but that's why I put in the 16.6.
All I would ask is, I don't agree with the 25% for sure. I don't think you set false numbers, especially in a public health field. It's pretty unrealistic. What I would want is, leadership-wise, if, as you're looking at your budget, if there's program areas that we believe are far more important in this community and there's a risk of maybe having to make it 13%, that it comes forward to us and say, you know what, your policy may say this, but this is no longer realistic. I do believe that people deliver a service, and we have to be very sensitive to that part of it. So that's why I was asking about that component.
And if I may, I agree with you 100%. And why we came to you for a one-year exemption of 9.9%.
Not the other.
And
yeah.
If you told me no, I would have done what needed to be done.
You have on here your billing system for clinical services, and I mentioned that Whitley and blank on her name had offered
Dr.
to come
Green.
Down. Are you then meeting with them to?
Oh, I mentioned to you at the last meeting that we have been meeting.
You've
with
been
them.
Meeting with them, but are
yes.
they assisting then in the in putting this together?
Has that happened yet, Andy?
Actually, we just yesterday had a meeting with.
I gone blank too. I know who you're talking about. Yes, I know her.
Yesterday, so yes.
Mary, where?
Mary.
No. Betsy.
Okay.
And we'll continue to do that because we can't move forward, we can't expand our clinical services.
Without being able to do that.
Without being able to bill appropriately.
I have to say I have received, how do I put this next? Calls and emails from constituents that are business owners with regard to the EH area. I do believe you are aware, and I think the chair made you aware of some concerns about the licensing issue, and that needs to be resolved if you're going to have people being closed down without an individual being licensed to have that authority. That said, what I'm getting calls for are more of the smaller businesses that may be more minority who feel that they're being selected, targeted.
What was the word? Selected?
Minority.
No, no.
More minority businesses being targeted.
Okay.
Okay.
And what's the licensing issue?
If Dr. Sands wants to speak.
Ooh,
well, we posted for the hiring of the EH director, they would be licensed as at the state level as environmental health, and the individual is
certified,
not
okay.
Certified, licensed, whatever they call
okay.
it.
I didn't know if you were talking about a business
no,
license.
No, no, no. But anyway, so some small businesses that are minority owned believe that they're being targeted, Asian and Hispanic. And I would hope that that is not true, but you need to be aware of that, and that can be part of the conversation
sure.
Management-wise on how that is dealt with. I'm happy to work with some of the businesses if they're concerned or don't feel comfortable coming forward. I have individuals who speak the languages that might be able to assist, but perhaps a review of what closures, I don't know. You got to figure out how to look at that, but if there is a pattern, then that needs to be addressed in the community. There should be no favoritism. There should be no perks that are provided to anybody for doing business here. I don't care if it's a golf club trip or anything, that's not permitted. And so,
as far as I know, there are none. Absolutely
none. I'm not saying there are, I'm just.
And if I may, mm-hmm. I would not tolerate that. I can tell you, if I may, an example is when I just talked to Marilyn about this today, is we had a meeting with all the environmental health staff, and I told them that the previous behaviors that had been exhibited, especially in that division, would not be tolerated. And I can tell you that they questioned me on that. They didn't believe me. And my response is, test me.
Yeah, and Marilyn knows because she works in that industry. So
I said, test me. And no one has tested me on those kinds of
good.
Issues. So if anyone tests me on being accepting perks, I think, who did we, it was Stan. No, was it you that we had lunch with? And I insisted that we buy our own.
He had to buy his own lunch.
So. Like a newspaper person has to, exactly. That means just
assume.
To cover that base.
Yeah.
One additional area in the solid waste division,
mm-hmm.
in the recycling, as you look at your legislative program, there's still, it may be able to be done internally, I don't know for sure, but to require that the audits or the documents that are submitted be based on jurisdiction versus countywide, so that we can actually do a correct audit on what is the recycling rate, for example, by Henderson, by North Las Vegas. So if you don't mind checking into that, because
sure.
I'm not sure statutorily if that's a statute thing or if it's something that can just be handled administratively. And Jackie might know on that part of it. And then under the WIC program, we had a conversation. So to me, I'm hoping that's a goal to move back into that area. But you had mentioned that you were working on it, so I thought it would be valuable to have you.
Well, one of my closest advisors who's sitting around this table actually brought that up. And then we decided to take that out or not add it in because it's virtually out of my control, so I can't have a goal of something that I can't control. Some of these are
right.
I have more or less control over.
Yeah.
But that is a discussion that I had, I told you,
with Richard
and Tracy Green.
Right.
They seemed amenable to it.
Okay.
And so we will continue to follow up on that.
So is there anything as a board that we need to do? Or is that something you come back with us as a recommendation, maybe to kick that idea? Okay.
But if Richard is amenable to it, the problem is that they have contracts out
correct.
Right now. And so we have to wait for whatever the
expiration period.
Yes.
But maybe if we're prepped for that. So I thought that was a positive moment because that's something I don't think a lot of the board members even knew we didn't participate in any longer. So I think that that would be something at least administratively to take a look at. And then finally, my other question on the laboratory revenues. Okay, remind me, is this still the one that's on the old property? That,
well,
is that where the lab is, or is this different?
This is the laboratory. Here's the old property.
Yeah.
What's the name of that street?
700 Desert Lane.
Desert Lane.
Yeah, it's
okay.
on Desert Lane. That's the one that we're talking
about.
What's
that bio building that's on the next to the old HR department building?
Oh, that's the TB clinic.
Okay, so maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah,
okay,
that's the TB clinic.
But that's the lab you're talking about increasing the expenditures on.
Yes, yes,
okay.
yes. Increasing the, not the expenditures, increasing the
revenues to total 30% of the lab expenditures. And then on the medical marijuana, that may be an uphill battle. Number one, as you know, we don't really do prescriptions. You have to do an only application for you to review it. There's nothing really technically for you to do. And if the legislature thinks that you're going to take money away from the state, I think you might run into some opposition on that part of it. That said, so pick your fights.
As far as that's concerned. So.
Maybe just before I get to the other two items I had, with discussion of the WIC program, I suppose that would come before the board. I don't know that I view that more as a social services program rather than a public health program. And with the budget issues that we've got, we just got to balance what the responsibilities to the community should be.
The WIC program, I was told that back when, I think it was Dr. Qualick decided not to fund that anymore, that it required a lot of local funds to do that. My experience, and I've managed WIC for many years in other jurisdictions, is that oftentimes it's almost, not quite, almost cost neutral. And the benefit of co-location WIC programs with immunization or maternal child health programs, family planning programs, is so great that a little bit of $8-$10 dollars can go a long way towards enhancing health related to WIC. Of course it would come to the board. It's going to be well over $50,000, so we would come to the board. We would talk about what our contribution would have to be. The biggest problem that I see, and I'm looking at you too, is that our salaries are probably higher than the current salaries of the people providing WIC services. And so what we did up north to make it look to Richard that we were more cost effective is we took the WIC manager and put him on general fund up there. I don't want to have to do that because that ends up just eating away at what general fund we have. My guess though, and I'll look at Chris again, is that she would see that some general fund as being worth the investment. And then it would be the entire board that would make that decision.
Absolutely. I raised it because the state had said it's really time for, does your board know that they got rid of this, and that because our immunization rate is so low here still, that there's ways to capitalize on the public service side of that. And yes, it may be a social service, but you know what? We're a public health agency, and so sometimes you have to look to the benefit of that in the long run. But it wasn't just the immunizations. There were other ways. If you bring a parent in and their babies are there, you can do a variety of different things that help eliminate some of the wellness factors and such and such. Along those lines. So that's why I raised the issue again.
And WIC is one of the oldest, most traditional of public health programs. So yeah. It's an opportunity to do some well-child checks on the infants that are enrolled with WIC, which requires some minimal laboratory services. And then the nutritional part I see certainly as a public health program.
Sure. I mean, I get it to try to blend the services is affected. Just moving forward, and I don't know when the chair would want us to begin any such discussion this afternoon, but I think we should be speaking also about compensation, length of contract. I think from my perspective, we got Dr. Eiser kind of at a bargain price when we looked at what other health officers in equitable types of positions were making. I think we need to look at the long-term maintenance of a contract for our chief health officer, and at the same time, obviously, we don't have a budget to ramp up, but I guess I would like to know what was the last compensation for the previous chief health officer, and what's currently the increase in salary for staff here at the health district. I think it was something like 1.5%.
The steps are 2.5.
Now, what was the salary increase that just negotiated?
The total. What's the total contract?
No.
Well, just for rank file.
Oh, for the new contract. I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
What is the overall? Is it something like 1.5%, 2.5%?
It's still the 1 step, 2.5%. But what you may be thinking of is that 1.5% that we were going to give as a one-time payment to staff. And I believe it's the first pay period in October. But that doesn't impact the
ongoing step. Yeah, it was outside of the step.
Correct.
Yeah.
So everybody who's eligible for steps would be getting 2.5%
correct
increase. So I think maybe that's kind of a guideline of what we ought to be thinking about. I also think that Dr. Eiser has plenty of challenges on his plate. This was sort of a out-of-the-blue thing hearing from union this afternoon to me. But in dealing with those kind of issues, I think it behooves us to give him enough support and allowance to work over a longer period of time. I would recommend at least a 2-year extension on the contract rather than a year-to-year extension on the contract in order to allow him the leverage and the wherewithal to have a future vision rather than trying to solve everything in a year at a time basis.
Thank you. Do we have comments from anybody else? Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you. So it was one time, 1.5%.
Correct. That's correct.
Was that tied to any years of service or anything like that?
No.
It was just okay. That was in October. And then 2.5%, how many of our employees don't move on a step? Do you know offhand?
Shirley, do you know how many are capped out?
Well, the 1.5% is for all employees.
Correct.
Of the number that are capped out, probably 35%.
I also, if I'm looking at the current, you were a 1 year when we first hired,
right,
correct?
Right.
I didn't see, and I remember working with Dr. Sands previously and Linda Strickland on the language, and I didn't see it in here about outside employment. Remember?
It's in here.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not in the one I have, but maybe I don't have the most of them.
If you look at 1C, employee will not render any services or engage in any other business
okay.
activity.
I just remember that argument.
Okay.
I was rereading the minutes. I
Absolutely.
Pulled the wrong minutes at that time.
Absolutely.
Does that include me being a garage mechanic?
No, you can't. I think actually when we debated, and I reread the minutes, what we were discussing is sometimes you get invited to do speaking engagements.
Yeah.
That was not a problem at all, but there are some folks that do have, we're trying to do 2 full-time jobs.
I know the plain language here says you cannot be a mechanic.
What is your compensation now?
$235. Larry's in...
That's
John's.
More than our county manager. Holy crap.
Larry's
oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to go high.
Larry's and John's were $250.
I know.
I'd also bring
just because they were paid. Well, I understand you're a doctor, so that's
yeah,
completely
okay.
Yeah, I totally get that part. But
a little different education.
Well.
When we look at other, from just the transparent Nevada, other physicians that are on public payroll are quite a bit higher.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Is that here in Nevada or nationwide?
Yeah. Here in Nevada.
Where we're at.
Transparent on that. If you go
no,
and look at them,
they're
not up to date, but the numbers are quite a bit above where we are with our chief health officer.
I'll go ahead and give my comments while everybody's thinking about that. First off, I hate this kind of process. I hate it in my jurisdiction. You know, I prefer these in more private settings, but it is what it is. It is public health, and so you're our public health officer, and we have a public process. I come at this probably a little bit different perspective than everybody else because I get to meet with you more often, at least this year, than most do. And I get to probably get that face-to-face time that other people don't. My review is generally positive. I maybe am not as surprised as everybody about the comment, but at the start, but it's not because I think there's validity or invalidity to it. It's just because I think it's the nature of the beast. You're in, you've got lots of employees here, you've got a union, and I'm not whether or not that comment is true, accurate perception doesn't really matter to me, and I've shared this with you before. It's one that I agree with everybody else that you need to address. Now, even if it's only one employee, it's important that you don't take that and just brush it aside and say, hey, that's just one person, disgruntled employee or whatever. I don't know whether it is or isn't, and I'm not in the day-to-day activities, but to me it's important whenever there's a complaint that you take it seriously. Usually behind any myth, if it is a myth, there's some reality to it, there's some reason for it. And so I do agree with Chris and the others that we ought to add that to be a goal. It's not completely within your control. Just like any other task that you're faced with, it's, you're not the only one that's going to get credit or criticized for it, but ultimately you're the quarterback and it comes back to you no matter what.
Absolutely.
Right? And so it does reflect on other people in this room, but you know, you're ultimately you're the responsible one. And so it's incumbent upon you to try to find ways to improve employee morale. And even if, again, if it's only one person or a handful of people. That being said, I do believe that, you know, just having been in personal conversations with you, that you're sincere, genuine, that you want to have good employee relations. I've never sensed any retaliation in you in any way. And so, you know, the best way to do that is to not take it personally and go find ways to improve your relationship with the employees. I think you've done that with the other jurisdictions. I've seen you reaching out to them, including my jurisdiction, and I think you've made strides there. I encourage you to continue to do that. Some of the things that I was pleased with that you've done this past year are on your accomplishment sheets, but one of them was the settlement with the county. That's been a thorn in our side for a long time. Again, you can't take full credit for that, but, you know, if you're going to get the criticism for all these things, you should get the credit for them as well. And I was involved in some of those negotiations and meetings as well and saw that, you know, you were involved and Annette was involved and other people were involved. And, you know, collaboratively we got it done, and I'm sure that was with the help of a lot of people, that you should get credit for getting that behind us. And when I say you, I mean the whole district.
I understand.
Again, another thing that I agree with others on is the budgetary process. It was a little bit of a surprise to us to find out where we really stood this year, and I think you've handled it well. You know, I think we're making strides towards balancing the budget so that we're not deficit spending anymore. And it's going to be a process, and we'll probably be back here again next year talking about it a little bit again. But hopefully within your 2 to 3 year range, we can start to see that even out again. It's nice to know that we've got, again, the money settled with the county, and so we hopefully have a, you know, working relationship going forward where we can at least have some certainty about how much money we do have or don't have and move forward with that. I do think you've also made a lot of strides and worked very hard on getting a facility replacement. I get to hear a lot of that, but other people don't hear a lot of the details. And, you know, you're judged by results, and obviously we don't have the result yet. So ultimately, that's going to happen before you get full credit for it. But I've seen the different options you brought to the table and the hard work you've done with legal counsel, with Andy, the real estate brokers, you know, working with the electeds in their different jurisdictions and trying to find solutions in those jurisdictions and things like that. And so I think that's a challenge that I think you need to bring to fruition. It will make makes a lot of problems go away when you have a home that everybody's happy in. And we saw that with Dr. Mada a little bit when we kind of moved out of the old facility and finally got settled down in this facility, and things were riding well for a while. And a lot of that had to do with them, but a lot of it had to do with the fact that we just had a home again. And it's really important for us to have a home where we can focus on doing what we're supposed to be doing, which is public health. I agree about the legislature. You're doing a good job on that. Again, there's a lot of details that we talk about every week. I won't go into any of that, but I'd encourage you to take the criticism you've heard today and don't take it personally, but turn it positively into something good, and so that next year when we come back, we're not talking about those particular issues again, and we'll probably have other criticisms next year. It's just the nature of it, but, you know, move us forward.
Just a brief response is, it may be my perception only, but I think once we have a home, that a lot of the dissatisfaction everyone talks about, that we don't have a permanent home, we have less than a year left on this lease, we're talking about renewing the lease over at 400 because we're not ready to move on that. We're talking about a variety of options, and I think as long as that's unsettled, morale cannot improve.
And so that is, I've got to tell you, that's among, if not the most important priority, it's among them. And it weighs on me, that was my email back to you, whenever it was, it weighs on me almost daily that we don't have a home. And I think it does on, well, Annette's part of the team, Andy's part of the team. I think it weighs on them as much. And so all we can do is I don't know if we can redouble our efforts, but we'll continue the efforts that we've been putting. The next step, though, will be, and there will be some morale issues with this, is the move and how much time do we have and how sequential, how smooth that goes. And so we'll put a lot of effort into building out whatever building we get and then that move. But that, so the amount of energy we're putting into purchasing a building can't dissipate because now we have to go the next step.
And I thank you for that email back. We were kind of talking, one potential is in the district, but I think that's a perfect collaborative opportunity too, as you were kind of kicking around, that once and if you land in some place, and if it is outside of this building, is putting teams together on what's the best way to move. I mean, you can empower people, and that's what we want them to have happen. So I think that I just see everything as an opportunity going forward. I believe in constructive criticism. I don't mind taking it myself. And if I'm wrong, somebody can more than happy to tell me that part of it. I would support a salary increase similar to what the employees got. I would not support a three-year contract. I think a two-year gives us still time to have some say-so about what goes on. 1 year probably is a little inconsistent, and there's openers if we decide we don't want you anymore or we want you longer. I mean, that's the board's opportunity. One thing I forgot to mention that I brought down with me, and it's from Washoe County Public Health. They did a fundamental review, and I would hope, I was going to make copies for the chair and yourself. I don't know if you've seen this or not.
I have, and I've referred to it.
Yeah, is that the same document that you, okay, because they talk about the accreditation. I think maybe doing at some point a fundamental review, because then it's not the people, I mean, it's an independent assessment of how are we functioning, what do we need. I mean, Washoe's different than us. We have a different minority population. We have different, many different other things. But sometimes having a strategic plan that really delves down, because this, we've done crisis management since I've been on this board in some way, shape, or form. And that's not fair to the folks that come in to do the job as far as that's concerned. So some consistency would be good. But I was just hoping that if nobody had read it, there was some interesting information, including what I kind of liked is if we're looking at the medical district or we're looking at a school of medicine, there might be some different collaborative models that we can look at with the health district we never tapped into as a resource for the academic side. And I just didn't want to lose that part because that was a key piece that was recommended in this document as well. So I if you got it, then maybe share it with the board. And we can
that started under my direction.
But
it was finished.
After you left.
After I left, maybe 6 or 8 months ago. I know one of the reviewers, Les Beitch, used to be in Oklahoma when I was in Texas, so we worked very closely together. That was one of the reasons I believe that Bonnie and I supported her decision on the MCAH home visiting program, is because that is the group that recommended that they eliminate that particular program.
But that's for Washoe.
Well, it's because it's not evidence-based. It would be nationwide.
We can continue to debate that one down the road, but that's...
I don't want to debate it. I just wanted to point out that I have mentioned this to you, and that was one of the findings that they had. It is relatively expensive. It would be a whole lot more expensive for us.
Oh, absolutely. So, I'm just saying down the road, I think if we get a home, if we focus on morale in general, then looking at some fundamental reviews, because it can help with your accreditation process as well.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying this is exactly the way to go, but there are always, sometimes it helps to take a step back. I mean, I remember in the school district, they used to do that, and Mary Beth was on the board, I think. We used to do some planning. I know part of your policy has been, you know, we should only be doing programs that not only that are evidence-based, but only that are mandatory. Sometimes we have an obligation to do something because it's the right thing or it's what's needed in the community, and that's where I would like to rely more on a health officer for that. And that's very truthfully why I help lobby to change the law to say have a manager manage and let the health officer be the health officer. And I still believe that fundamentally that's the direction we should go in as a health district, because you're putting out fires with stuff that has nothing to do with what you're really, so anybody in your seat would be focusing on. So that's kind of where I'm at.
And just a brief response, I have never
ever recommended that we only do mandatory programs. I've specifically told you that there's mandatory versus and good public health versus non-good public health. And within mandatory programs, there can be non-good public health. And clearly within non-mandated program, there is very good public health. And so that's the balancing act that you as a board and me as your chief health officer have to really look at, and that's what you'll see at the retreat next week. But you do need to know what is mandatory, because we can't give those up very easily. Mm-hmm. And then there is a choice as to which non-mandated programs we continue to support or add into our mix.
Thank you.
All right, so if there is discussion on the extension or salary increase, we'll entertain that now.
Tim had started.
I guess I would make a move, and then we can motion that we increase salary by 2.5% and extend contract as a 2-year contract.
I'll second.
Any further discussion?
May I make a comment?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Absolutely.
There is a, and Annette knows of my concern with this, there's a part of the contract that says, I have to give you 6 months, but you only have to give me 3. I don't care which one it is, but I think it's fair that whatever I have to give you, you have to give me.
Do 3.
3 is fine.
For both.
If that's acceptable to you as a committee recommending to the full board.
Any discussion on that?
You're satisfied with 3?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Okay.
And I'll withdraw my second to the original motion.
Tim, you just accept it as an amendment to your
motion. Take
it
as an amendment. Right. So the motion stands as 2.5% salary increase, 2-year contract, 3-year or 3 months notice by either the employer or the employee.
Second.
All in favor of making that recommendation to the board?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. So we kind of folded 3 into 2 there, and then we're to our final public comments. Anyone wishing to speak? Final public comment. Yes.
And if it's okay, I can't stand because I've got my references and I'm sitting.
That's
on
fine.
Them.
If you could just state your name, just for the record.
I'm Kathleen Peterson. I was on your board as an alternate for 2 years. Okay, and tried not to miss any meetings because I thought they were extremely important. In addition, I have. Listened to each and every person who spoke on the board and was very impressed with their background knowledge of what our needs were and how they assessed our current situation. And I thank Chris very much for staying on top of stuff, because you've done a great job. One of the things I also wanted to do was, because you've all said it, acknowledge the fact that Dr. Isaac walked in to an incredible situation, a pretty hard program, and a program that was perhaps not funded to its fullest amount. First thing he did was what anybody would do in a disaster preparedness and readiness situation would be a gap analysis, which he did. He looked at quality improvement and identified those plans with each of his teams. He had an internal communication plan, okay, that hopefully made a lot of information available to people, which is why I don't take personally that first public comment that was made, because you've done an incredible job trying to get things in order according to the most important first, second, third, etc. You've looked at your legislative meetings and looked at the impact and tried to promote those best things that could possibly be done. You have worked with other public health leaders, okay, and with lobbyists, et cetera. And it's a good thing because he got a lot more information, I think, that way, at least from what I've been able to document. He's had community meetings and we've looked everything up to public affairs, to air quality, which I teach, and has become very important because of some of the things that are going on right now, OK? pay, and some of them go all the way back to the president and the EPA. They have looked at and identified wonderful credits per employee, and I thank you for that, because if I did that much work under that much pressure, I too would like to be recognized, and that is done very, very well by yourself. You've looked at the needs and made them very clear to all of us what they are. The lack of funding obviously does not help us do everything, but people have tried to patch things where they could, okay, sustain the services and look at potential, because there has been some talk about future outbreaks and what we would do them, and then having mass prophylaxis plans in place, okay, for your readiness response and contingency. You have tried to balance that staffing, and that sometimes is very difficult. Okay, you've completed with the gap analysis then the cures for a number of things where you found efficiencies, and you've got the successful elements, okay, for the appropriate levels of responses. And if you read the last pandemic plan, you will see some of these massive changes that have had to take place to respond to that, and some of what I will tell you right now from being an infectious disease person that is linked to our disaster preparedness, both in the county as well as the Center for Disease Control. And I think you have tried to look at that and what happens if we were to get a mutation that made Ebola virus something that was no longer secretive, okay, and yet transmissible by the airborne route with a low infective dose. And I have to comment that you've looked into just about everything that I've been able to see, including in our basic Clark County plan. You had to go by the National Response Framework and comply with all of the things in that. That is immense, by the way, as well as the Homeland Security regulations that we have. And since I did a small little audit up here, I found out that you have not been very efficient in very much of anything. And I did have a little audit checklist someplace. If I could just dig that up, that might be beneficial at some point in time for everybody's sake, because you've all done a great job. Getting to your TB clinic, okay, your BSL-3 down on Shadow Lane, okay, is probably not going to be sufficient if we do get an outbreak of respiratory diseases. And so if I might suggest, and you might want to think about this, I can give you the requirements for updating that BSL-3 lab, okay, because you will need it as Clark County grows, and people that have not ever even been documented as being here, okay, have started bringing in incredible infective diseases, and they're coming now from all over the world, not just one in India and a couple from Argentina, etc. You are going to hear in the future year to come a lot more of what we might be very concerned about and then how we're going to adapt to them. So your BSL-3 will be treating perhaps more than TB, just to let you know, as your imagination must be going on. In addition to that, I have tried to keep up with the FEMA requirements and some of your potentials for diagnosing in your laboratory, because I know you split samples and send them to other places. You have a number of, shall we just call them machines, that are not antiquated, but there are newer machines that we're going to very, very vigorously help you in looking at the agent and transmission, infective dose, okay, and the rate at which it mutates and which sites. And so keeping up with the Lawrence Livermore Labs and three of the other laboratories that have equipment that can do some of this, my thought would be we might be able to look at getting a much better and a more extensive BSL-3 for not just tuberculosis, but anything that could be airborne, number one. And then number two, the ability, obviously, for mass prophylaxis and making sure that people know that you're a little bit more important being a city of destination than some of these other cities. Okay? And again, I belong to the readiness resource group, so there is that on our maps. Okay? And then three, if
just
there
ask
any,
you to wrap it up. You've got your 5 minutes.
And if there was the possibility of getting some money for equipment, okay, because I did talk to your nurse in charge of your microbiology laboratory, it might be very good for all of us to be able to have, okay, an earlier diagnosis of what's going around.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else wishing?
Just one comment. Are you going to recirculate the goals so that we know what finally got accepted, just so that when we sit down a year from now, we know whether or not the goals got?
Yeah, that was my plan, is to revise this for the full board meeting in October.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. We're done with public comment and meeting adjourned. Thank you for everybody.
Thank you.
That was quick at the end.
Was it true that there were 6 West Nile mosquitoes found out in Moapa? Did I hear that on the news report?
Yeah, there
are. Yes, how are you doing? Good.
Sorry.
There are mosquitoes that carry West Nile, and there are some positive samples. So our vector team is going up tomorrow to have a public meeting about what property owners have to do. We can't do it for them about standing water.
What do you need on the PCE from Maryland Parkway? Do you need anything, or are they able? Because I can get it from the state and Dep. I'll come over here. It's probably easier.
About the chemicals, Chris? Are you talking about the chemicals?
No, the PCE.
What I need from him, because we have a point that underlies, we can talk to him.